WATD-FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This is a WATD political forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
And thank you very much and good evening. Welcome to a WATD political forum. Tonight's race is for the special election for the Plymouth Select Board. The winner of this race will fill the remainder of Sheila Joyce's term, who stepped down recently. Charlie Bletzer, Vedna Haywood, Steve Bulletin are the candidates. Scott Vecchi was in the race, but he dropped out. They're going to let the voters know where they stand on the issues. I'm Christine James, your moderator, along with Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi. Good evening.
Hello.
And WATD reporter Charles Mathewson also asking questions.
Bonsoir.
Very nice. This is not going to be in two languages. Also joining us tonight is media partner PAC-TV. Thanks so much for joining us. And we've, of course, got the candidates here in studio. Everybody's ready for your questions. These are the ones that we have previewed and we are going to be asking tonight. Now, the format is simple. It's the format that we always use. We've asked the candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. The opening statements are no more than 2 minutes long, and the closing statements are 1 minute. We'll ask the candidates a round of questions. They have 1 minute to answer. The lightning round is after the regular portion, and the lightning round is my favorite part because we find people running for office can never say things succinctly. That's why we do this. The lightning round answers are either yes or no, with no big explanation, or one or two sentences tops. And the reporter will ask the question and say, I either want one or two sentences or yes or no, and we try to be strict with that. We really do. So we chose the opening and closing order out of the official, again, stand-in newsroom koozie since the old one is still gone. And we have decided that Vedna Haywood is first, then Charlie Bletzer, then Steve Bulletin. Those orders will be reversed at the end. Now, we're very tight with our timing here, too. Our newsroom intern, Maddie Hobson, is going to be timing people. We go with the old construction paper system. Green means go. Yellow means you have 10 seconds. Red means stop. Now, if a candidate is still speaking with the red paper up, I give them a slow 5 count. That's your grace period. Then the bell. If you're still talking, then we cut the mic. We've had to do that very few times because we find most people really respond well to that system you learned in grade school. So, looks like a great race, good candidates. Let's get started and let's go with our opening statements. Good evening, Vedna Haywood.
And I want to thank WATD for hosting this event and informing the Plymouth residents of the candidates running for the select board. My name is Vedna Haywood, and I'm your fellow resident, neighbor, and public servant, and I'm running for the select board. I'm a transplant of the state of Florida, and my husband Jim and I moved here over a decade ago because he wanted to return to the state he loved so much. He talked about a childhood where the culture of family, friends, and community was paramount and one he wanted his family to experience. Having lived in a state where most people were transient, I was ultimately intrigued. We moved to Plymouth after a day trip. I fell in love with the seaside charm and ultimately decided to create roots and raise our family here. Jim and I are raising our 8-year-old son, who is currently part of the Plymouth school district. We are working class of Plymouth. He is in hospitality and I'm a surgical trauma ICU nurse. And as a nurse in critical care, I'm entrusted with making crucial emergency decisions and implementing plans that affect the lives of my patients while navigating through difficult conversations with families and the patients I care for. As a current Plymouth School Committee member, I'm tasked with making difficult executive decisions from budget to policy that impact our children, family, and employees I served. And in my 25 years as a public servant and advocate, I've had the opportunity to be part of numerous boards and committees from the local to national level. My life of volunteerism has allowed me a varied opportunity to simply serve others and to use my experience to broaden my commitment to this community that I fell for over a decade ago. We have a remarkable town filled with people who are talented, hardworking, and dedicated, and who share a deep appreciation for our historic and beautiful town. New leadership with fresh but informed perspective is needed to develop responsible plans to keep our town financially secure while prioritizing our vital services. We love this town. As both a transplant and intergenerational residents alike. And with your vote and collaboration, I will work to ensure that Plymouth is not just a thriving, healthy community, but one we know and continue to love.
Thank you very much. That was Vedna Haywood in her opening statement. Now let's go to Charlie Bletzer.
Thank you, Christine, Kevin and Shells and WATD. Also, I'd like to thank PAC TV. My name is Charlie Bletzer. I have dedicated myself to this town in various capacities over the years. I served the residents of Precinct 2 as a town meeting member, as well as 14 years as a board member of the Plymouth Growth and Development Corporation. I love Plymouth, and it's undeniable that we as a community are going through a period of growth and change. I want to represent all residents of Plymouth as we navigate the many challenges with your interests in the forefront of my mind. As a select board member, I would be committed to working as a bridge of communication and teamwork across all town organizations and boards. The division amongst boards, committees, and organizations in town must be closed. We can and will all work together. Community collaboration is needed to positively change the way the town operates. I am hopeful in earning the confidence of Plymouth residents on August 14th, 2021. I'm dedicated to putting in the hard work needed to help Plymouth continue to be vibrant, successful, and inviting place we all love. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement of Charlie Bletzer. Now let's go to Steve Bulletin.
Thank you very much, and thank you again, WATD and PAC TV. I'm Steve Bulletin. For those who don't know me, I wish I had the time to tell you all about my background. I'd love to tell you about my parents, my father, the school teacher, my mother, the secretary, who instilled in me compassion and a desire to give back. I'd love to tell you all about my educational experience, my bachelor's degree, my law degree, my postgraduate degree, as these experiences gave me an opportunity to see things in a different perspective and develop critical thinking. And I'd love to tell you all about my volunteer work with seniors, veterans, and the arts community, as there's nothing more instructive than seeing problems and issues through the eyes of someone in need. But unfortunately, I don't have all that time. So instead, let me tell you why I am the right choice for Select Board. As a 30-year attorney who has spent his career addressing the issues facing municipal government, I bring a different perspective. I've dealt with environmental issues, working with trade associations, performing remediation of hazardous waste throughout the country. I have an understanding of facilities and infrastructure, working with architects and engineers in connection with literally hundreds of projects, all types, from sewers to school buildings. And most significantly, I have 25 years working with municipalities, representing dozens of cities and towns in New England, in connection with almost every aspect of municipal government. I've handled bidding challenges, conducted contract negotiations, managed construction claims, addressed public challenges to all types of procedures and regulations, and so much more. I've also had the privilege of representing municipal employees in almost every type of claim: police officers, teachers, administrators, bus drivers, just a few examples. Everything from auto accidents to civil rights violations. From these experiences, I have had the benefit of seeing from the inside what other towns have done right and done wrong. I am ready to bring that knowledge to the Select Board to make Plymouth better for everyone.
Thank you very much. That was the candidate, Steve Bulletin. You've heard from the three candidates. Now we're going to go to questions. First, Kevin Tonchi, your questions for the candidates and who they are directed at first.
Do you support the movement, possibly change in the town's form of government, which is currently town meeting, to a city form of government, similar to Weymouth did in the late 90s, which they now have a mayor and a town council? We'll start with Stephen.
With respect to answering that question, I'd actually like to say that obviously we have a charter commission sitting right now, and I fully supported that charter commission. And I want to be clear, that's not the charter committee that the town appoints every 5 years. This was a commission created after thousands of residents signed a petition to put the issue on the ballot, which was passed by 78%. And I was one of those people out there gathering signatures, because I believe there is nothing more important than having government responsive to the needs of the people. What I support is the role of the Charter Commission, independent people creating a document for the public to look at and to vote upon. That's why we created this commission, to give them that opportunity to go ahead and develop the information necessary to give everybody an informed idea as to what their approaches are and what they suggest should be.
So my follow-up question to you is are you confident that this charter commission and the makeup of the committee can make the make all of the proper determinations and put that forth to the public?
I am confident that if these people come with an open mind and not seeking a predetermined outcome, absolutely, they can do that. And that's why we have, however, the ultimate safeguard, which is it goes to the voters.
Okay. Charles, same question.
I think Steve's answer, a lot of us, I feel the same way as him. The only thing is I'm not sure how confident I am that they're going to be open-minded. Because, you know, there were two slates in the election. There was one that were against any changes. There was another slate that was for a mayoral form of government. And I know because I listened to them. So they have to review, and I'm hoping they're going to do this, all forms of government, whether it's a city manager or city council, which I've talked to towns. Watertown's one example that works very well, or whether it's a mayor with city council, or if it's just a limited, maybe it's a smaller version of town meeting that we have right now. But I think that we really have to, hopefully that the charter review committee does their jobs and brings some good ideas, because we need, I'm all for improvements.
Confident that this commission and the makeup of the committee can do the job and get the proper information out for the voters?
I'm not that confident. I'm confident they'll get information out, but I'm not sure. I'm hopeful. Hopefully they are, because that's what their job is. Okay. So, but I know there was two sides, one for town meeting and one for a mayor. So. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. Same question, Vedna.
Well, I'll even expand on what Steve has mentioned. I think it's a great idea that the town is having an open discussion regarding Plymouth's future and its charter. And with the creation of the Charter Commission, we're not only looking at how we are governing, but it's looking at the not only the current style of government, but the challenging areas in terms of our efficiency as a local government. This is an opportunity to reimagine and work towards a more accountable, equitable, and effective form of government. Having said that, we also have an increasing a budget with some issues regarding accountability. And honestly, it does not matter what form of government we have. It will not cure the current ills that plague our town. So, there are varied examples of this mayoral form of government with a council. We look at our neighbors, I would say, in the Brockton area. I think there's some misconceptions as to these people being full-time employees. They're not. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Same follow-up question is are you confident that this commission and the makeup of the committee will be able to gather the proper information and put it forth to the voters?
I think they're making a concerted effort. We elected these people. So I'm hopeful that they will be able to aggregate some of this information and present it to us as townspeople so that we can make the best decision possible for the town.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for the candidates? Charles Mathewson.
Charlie, you mentioned that there were two slates. There were, and the slate that was pro-mayor did not get a majority of seats. And it's more than the form of government. As we know from previous charter commissions, they've made other suggestions. What would you like to see specifically from this charter commission?
I'd like to see open mind, come in with an open mind and look at all forms of government and look at them and look for some improvements to our form of government. I'd like both sides talking, you know, the mayoral people and the town meeting people talking and come up with what we think.
Okay, we've heard some ideas already come out of this group. For instance, doing away with the Finance Committee, replacing it with the Ways and Means Committee, has been floated out there. Could we get a little more specific other than a kumbaya moment when we all get together? But what would you like to see come from the, I know it's probably 2 years, but what would you like to see?
Former government, I'd like to be move faster. I think we need to get things done. There's a lot of very important issues now in this town. You know, we're growing like a city. We're 60 to 70,000 residents now. With summer, there's almost 100. And because of that, we have environmental issues. We have economic development issues. Our commercial tax growth is one. We're all going to talk about that. And I just think we need more of a full-time government that can make things move quicker.
Edna, what would you like to see specifically from this Charter Commission?
I think just finding areas in where we could be a little bit more proactive and not reactive in terms of our government. I think a lot of issues that seem to plague us are us not necessarily being ahead of some of the issues, like whether that be in terms of maintenance or infrastructure. And so how is it, hopefully with the Charter Commission, we can find ways to make us as a local government more efficient. So it's efficiency that I'm looking for.
And Steve?
I'd like to see the Charter Commission come up with proposals that answer the questions that we have about how our government isn't working right now. Mr. Bletzer made some very good points when he talks about the need to address speed in some of the decisions we need to make. Also, we need to start thinking proactively. We need to be thinking forward. We are a growing community, and we need to be thinking about the community as it continues to grow. So what I'd like to see is any form of proposal that's presented backed up with an explanation as to how these particular changes in our town government are going to address our problems. Because what we really need to see is we need to see government responsive to the issues. It's not just the form of government. The form of government isn't going to solve our problems. Ms. Haywood's absolutely correct. We need to address the problems that we have, and government needs to be responsive to that.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to a political forum. The candidates here are the town of Plymouth, and it's for the Plymouth Select Board. We've got three candidates here, Edna Haywood, Steve Bulletin, and Charlie Bletzer. Now, I want to ask you a question that was sent by our Plymouth correspondent, Bobby Clark, and she asks, reducing taxes seems to be the goal of all the candidates, but how do you propose to do that given the continuing growth that requires services that cost money? Fire and police protection, education of children, upkeep of buildings and roads, etc. Let's start this time with Edna.
Reducing taxes. So taxes obviously are needed to pay our services. So how do we reduce taxes? Though that's not the goal of the or the purview of the select board, it is currently the purview of the town manager. But it is, I believe, that diversification away from increased property taxation is a way of reducing our taxes, finding a different revenue streams in order to kind of support our town is a way of kind of taking away from just one singular source of revenue within the town.
And just a quick follow-up question, what do you think would be a good idea for a new revenue source that maybe the town hasn't explored before?
So I've currently been mentioning the blue economy. So I know that the Cape Cod area, as well as the North Shore, have ascribed to this blue economy where they're using their coastal waterways, and it allows for reimagining how one, in terms of like transit, using our waterways for transit, a way to kind of expand our tourism, seeing that tourism is our economic driver here in Plymouth. It's also a way to bring in academia and also bring in jobs in terms of like fisheries, the cruises, as well as maintenance of shipyards and so on and so forth.
Okay. Same question, Steve. Want me to repeat that? Reducing taxes seems to be the goal of all candidates, but how do you propose to do that given the continuing growth that requires services that cost money, fire and police protection, education of children, upkeep of buildings and roads, etc.?
Almost all of the money raised by the town to cover expenses comes from property taxes. Right now, 82% of that money comes from the residents, and that number is going up. Building homes isn't going to solve the problem. It costs the town more for a new family than they generate in tax revenue. The solution in the immediate term is increasing business. What I'm saying is nothing new, and all the candidates have said this before. We are all in agreement in terms of this general problem. This same information has been presented to this town as far back as 2004 in its master plan, and probably earlier. But rather than taking action to move forward, the town has actually moved backwards. We were 20% generated from business taxation. We're now down to 14% and dropping. So what we need to do is to change the way we work with business to bring business, quality business jobs here to the town of Plymouth.
Okay, so I'll ask you the same follow-up. So one specific revenue stream, do we need to see a specific type of business to bring this extra money in? Or not extra money, increased money in?
What we need to see are, and I hate to use the word, but what are quality businesses? Businesses that provide jobs that afford people a living wage. Everything from trades to life sciences to technology. And we have the ability to bring those businesses here. We are ideally situated to be the center of the economy for Southeast Massachusetts, given our location, given our size, given our population, given our resources. But what we have to do is we have to make it easier for business to come here. Unfortunately, Plymouth has a reputation as being hostile to business. That has to change. We have to streamline the business process so that people coming, wanting to bring business to Plymouth, feel that they are welcome, especially those businesses that share our values.
Okay. Same question, Charlie Blitzer.
Thank you. I respectfully disagree with Vedna about the select board's role in reducing taxes. We're in charge of the budget. We're in charge of recommending the budget to town meeting. So I think it's our job to make sure that the budget is in line with the revenue we have coming in. And the way our fixed costs are 75%, which is in line with other towns. Weymouth, for instance, is right at the same amount that we are. So the way we can't do it by cutting the fixed costs. So what we need to do, as Steve said, we need economic developments. And how do we do that? We have incredible, talented, forward-thinking individuals serving our town in various capacities. We have to leverage those minds, come together to create an innovative environment of growth and competition. We have to sit down with developers, bringing tax revenue to town to identify ideal commercial-only development zones.
Let me ask you the same follow-up question. Tell me a revenue stream that you think could come into the town and produce more money for Plymouth.
A revenue stream?
One specific, like new type of business or new revenue stream to bring more money in.
I want offices. I want business offices coming in with, as Steve said, higher paying jobs in light commercial businesses. I think would be great. I was hoping at one point that it would get some like a medical center, which I think would be very helpful to Plymouth.
Okay. So, thank you, Kevin Chachi. Questions for the candidates here.
The town of Plymouth has some exceptional recreation resources, such as its ponds and its beaches. How do you feel about restricting use to only the residents? We will start with Charles.
Okay. The beaches, we have great. Plymouth residents should never be made to feel uncomfortable or unwelcome to enjoy our beaches, ponds, trails, parks, and public land. I will work hard to ensure the tools and resources are made available to our hard-working police department to enforce the current laws to protect all who enjoy a natural beauty. The problem with our beaches and ponds, and you're talking about the bad behavior down there, it's enforcement. It's not necessarily parking. We need to enforce the bad behavior. We did it at Morton Park a few years ago. We've done it at Whitehorse Beach successfully recently. Now the ponds of Plymouth has an issue. But I think additional policies should be discussed to develop a common sense approach to all public access recreation areas in order to ensure these resources are preserved and maintained, firstly for our residents' benefit, and secondly as an asset to our economic growth and our tourism industry.
Has there been any ongoing investigation as to some of the misbehavior? Is it strictly folks from other communities or... Okay.
It's a lot of other communities, and the misbehavior is underage drinking, It's intoxication. There's been some lewd and lascivious acts down there, probably because of intoxication. You know, there's drug use going on down in some of the beaches. And the neighbors, quite frankly, some of the neighbors are afraid to go to their beaches.
So if you could offer a strategy to kind of curb some of these behaviors, what would you offer for a strategy?
I think the enforcement, a consistent, come up with a plan. And if it's beach stickers that are necessary for certain ponds and beaches, I'm not sure they all would need that. And then enforcement. Because if you get rid of, if you enforce on one beach, they're going to go to the next beach. So that's how it works. So I think we need to have consistent enforcement on our beaches. It's the bad behavior that has to be stopped, not the, because the like the parking down in Whitehorse, it's when it was just the parking and no enforcement, it didn't work. Now that they have enforcement, it's working. So I just want to be consistent.
Same question, Vedna, and that is should ponds and beaches, Plymouth ponds and beaches, be restricted only to Plymouth residents?
So there has to be a way to kind of balance the needs of the residents with the economic driver that is tourism for us. So we need to preserve our local culture and assets and environment for our residents while ensuring that our visitors also have a unique experience. So I don't believe that total exclusion is the answer. Tourism is one of the leading catalysts for economic growth and cultural exchange in our town and is the third leading economic driver in the United States. So perhaps we need to, in terms of, I'll probably answer the second part of your question, in terms of like strategies, we need to engage the stakeholders to provide solutions that present challenges so that we could bridge, actually engage with the community in developing planning for tourism and actively educate and create awareness of the benefits of tourism for our town and maybe just reevaluate our capacity.
Charles had mentioned beach stickers. Do you think that could be a deterrent?
I guess beach stickers, but it still excludes. So beach stickers, are they specifically...
if you don't pay for it.
Is it beach stickers specifically for residents, or is it beach stickers for visitors?
Again, this is the strategy that I'm asking you is, would
okay.
If you could have someone pay for a beach sticker, if you're going to pay to go there, maybe it'll curb the behavior.
It could curb the behavior. It could. But I think also, too, we have to kind of reevaluate our capacity. We talked about police presence, but let's ask the constituency what they want in terms of that instead of actually creating policy for them.
Okay. Same question to Steve. Resources like ponds and beaches, should they be restricted just to town residents?
No. I don't want to repeat what's already been said. There's lots of good thought here and back and forth. Mm-hmm. We do need to address enforcement. That's certainly the key aspect here. We need to create ways to monitor what's occurring and to take decisive action to discourage improper conduct. We definitely are seeing most of the problems coming from outside of town. I'm sure there are certainly some bad town actors. A lot of people are probably coming to visit people, but nonetheless, the problems that we've seen, whether it's the Fight Club type behavior at Whitehorse Beach or the lascivious behavior that's going on at White's Pond, all of these things are showing up as problems in enforcement. If you take away the opportunity for these people to behave that way, then the problems will become a lot more manageable.
How about as far as like a beach sticker? Would you want to go with something like that? We had to pay to be able to go and use that resource?
I've had discussions with some town residents who've had two different ideas. Idea number one was to create roving police patrols, undercover police, sectors moving from location to location. That way people would never know whether or not they were or weren't being observed. And if they observed, these are skilled police officers, obviously, and if they observe problems, then they would be able to report them, deal with them if they can, or seek backup if necessary. With respect to the issue of parking stickers, I would rather see a central parking location or locations for people to come and shuttles to move people around to different locations. These would be an opportunity to create a revenue source for the town. We can create parking, we can create an area where we lease out space for restaurants, sundry shops, things like that. And again, an opportunity to monitor people as they move about the town.
Thank you.
Charles Matthewson, questions for the candidates?
Well, I have so many questions, and that last round raised even more. But I'll move on, except to say, would each of you give me a guesstimate of how many miles of coastline we have in Plymouth? Charlie?
How many miles?
Yeah. Come on, quick, quick. It's like a lightning round thing.
Is it social
studies? Yeah. We have 106 square miles, so we must have about 28, 25 miles.
Steve?
75 miles.
Bedna? I think it's 35 square miles.
Well, there are 36 miles of coastline in Plymouth. I know I walked it all one time for a story. Moving on, whichever one of you is on the select board, one of the decisions that will be made soon is whether to hire a grant writer. This has come up several times in the last 4 years. It's always been voted down. So my question to you is, would you support, as a select board member, hiring a grant writer, and what would that grant writer do? Edna?
I would support hiring a grant writer. We have a grant writer in the school district that goes after particular grants where other persons have the ability to do, they're giving monies towards particular programs. So if there are programs that are being implemented, and we've actually had grant-funded programs here, it would be great to have someone who has a specialty that will allow us to actually go after competitive grants. So I would.
What would you like to see them go after?
It's varied. We've had, what's it called? I know in recent times there have been grants that have gone after in terms of climate resiliency, but they could also go after other, like community-based grants, whether that have to be with the opioid epidemic or any other social programs that exist here in the town.
Steve Bolleton, would you vote yes or no for a grant writer, and what would they do?
I'm on record as having already said that I support not just a grant writer, but frankly a grants department. When you look at towns our size throughout the country, you see multiple people working on grants. And typically you find that a small group of grant writers generate in excess of $50 to $70 million over a period of 5 to 7 years. In new grants, depending on what type of work they're doing. I think what we need, grant writing, as I've said, is almost as much an art as it is an administrative process. So you need people who understand that art, not just for grants in general, but for specific areas, whether it be something for education, something for environment, something for housing, something for social programs. They all have their own type of language and wording, and people know what works and doesn't work when it comes to doing that. Those experienced people are what we need to generate more revenue from grants.
Charlie, grant writer or not?
100%, yes.
We need a full-time grant writer to capitalize on missed opportunities to financially better our community. That being said, the select board, they're gonna go to a future meeting and vote on that. And if I'm on the board, I would definitely vote for this. What would I go after for grants? I mean, parking is a huge issue in Plymouth, and I'm close to that. And I would love to see a grant to help fund one of the two parking garages that we have already designed in Plymouth that we can't fund because we don't have the funds to do it.
That's Memorial Hall, then.
We have one at Memorial Hall. There's a 400-space garage there with some commercial. It was going to be a transportation center, but we lost the GATRA portion. The Tiger grants were out, so we couldn't get it. But that's an example. Also, any of the tourism grants, I mean, we have outdoor dining. Right now, we're trying to come up with a plan for the outdoor dining. We could use some grant money to help with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there one particular issue that spurred you to run for this office? Was it one thing that really you thought about, I have a better idea, I want to do something, or this is an issue that if Plymouth does not resolve, there's going to be a problem? Steve?
I think what ultimately spurred me on was looking at what Plymouth is facing. Because it's not just one problem. We don't have one problem. We have a series of interconnected challenges that can't be dealt with in a piecemeal fashion. And I think that's what I've seen as I've watched Plymouth government over the last X number of years, dealing with piecemeal fashion approaches. Whack-a-mole is the description that was given at one point. This problem flares up, that problem flares up. But the goal, the role of the select board is to come up with the long-range planning and goal setting and regulations to carry those out. That's what our town charter says our select board is supposed to do, and we're not doing it. We need to address all of these issues associated with a growing town, needing more services, facing greater expenses, and having infrastructure issues that go on top of it.
But if you could name one thing, what do you think the biggest issue is?
Well, it all starts with our economic development. It starts with the fact that our residents are being priced out of town. Young people can't afford to buy in and stay in town. As I've said, in 2000, a person making the median income in Plymouth could afford the median house. In 2004, it was impossible. In 2021, it's completely beyond the scope of imagination. So we need to be able to bring the tax base, we need to broaden the tax base to lower the residential property taxes, and we need to take actions so that people can live, work, and afford to do so here in our town.
Charlie, what do you think the biggest issue is that you chose to run for? Was there one issue in particular?
Yes, I watched the meetings and I saw the fighting that was going on between board members, and it bothered me. And I want to get on this board because, you know, I don't know the resume that Steve has or probably even Vedna, but I can tell you that I'm a common sense guy and I believe in sitting down and talking and working together. A collaborative effort between residents and boards, that's what I want to see happen. Everybody working together for the good of Plymouth. And I'm that kind of person. I get things done by talking to people and coming up with a common sense approach to solving problems. And that's what I want to do. And I watch the board fighting. And I watch, you know, there's issues with the planning board and the select board, and that bothers me. So I want to get on the board to get all our boards, everybody working together with town meeting, working with town meeting also. So that's why I wanted to go on. I can get that done.
With all these issues that they're not agreeing on or fighting about, is there one in particular that you think is the one that they have to deal with right away or most important?
I think they made great strides the other night having the environmental, the sustainability coordinator that's going to go to town meeting. I think that was a huge step in the right direction for this town. Also, a grant writer is going to be another huge step. We have to work with the Economic Development Corporation. We got to help them to recruit businesses. We have to work with the Chamber, see Plymouth. We got to make Plymouth inviting for businesses to come to our town and bring revenue to our town, tax revenue. So.
Same question, Vedna. Was there one particular issue that really spurred you to want to run for this office?
There were several issues. I think Plymouth, now more than ever, is in a state of transition and at a crossroads of change. And so that change is in its developed lands, its natural resources, the way that it's governed, and affordability. Affordability is one of the huge factors for me. And we have an opportunity to either go forward or stay stagnant. And so in my dealings with the town, I saw that this was an opportunity to actually help Plymouth progress towards the next 400. We can't afford to be status quo. And so, as Charlie mentioned as well, I want to restore a sense of civility and collaboration as well. The divisiveness that is actually seen is problematic, and I want to improve the effectiveness of local government so that we're serving the constituency efficiently.
Okay. Just because I asked these other gentlemen a follow-up question, same thing. So you would say affordability?
Affordability.
Is that the biggest issue going forward, you think?
Affordability, climate resiliency. Affordability in terms of what is the fact that people who own homes are being priced out of their homes, and couples and or single persons who want to move to Plymouth do not have the ability to move to Plymouth. We have to work towards making this town more affordable.
Okay, thank you. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates.
We'll start with you, Vedna. Are you in favor of outdoor dining?
I am, actually.
Okay. Do you think the town should consider additional fees on businesses who want to use the outdoor space? Maybe there'd be a fee for parking or even for additional water and sewer use. Is that something that could help generate more revenue for the town if there was a fee charged for outdoor dining?
I mean, it would help generate revenue, but it's to the detriment of the business owner, because the business owner is actually putting in monies as well to actually accommodate for the outdoor dining. So there has to be some sort of balance with that. The businesses had such almost a cataclysmic effect to their businesses during this COVID time, and there has to be a way that we actually help them get back to where they were pre-COVID. So I think that's a precarious place in terms of adding on fees when they are also having to put out more monies in order to accommodate for outdoor dining.
Okay. Same question to Steve. Are you in favor of outdoor dining?
Yes, I am in favor of outdoor dining.
So, should the town, if you're looking for revenue, and if a restaurant is using part of the sidewhark or roadway, or they need to use additional parking because they're using that space for outdoor dining, is it something that could be permitted fees?
I think that there need to be fees associated with it, in part because they are actually changing their leasehold with the town. They're actually leasing more square space, theoretically. I don't see outdoor dining as a means to an additional revenue source to the town. I think, as Ms. Haywood said, the restaurateurs in town have taken a sufficient beating from COVID that we need to do what we can to help them to bring their business back and to stabilize business going forward. So what I'm looking for in terms of fees are the associated revenue costs with the additional square footage they're taking and some of the costs that the town has to bear in terms of addressing the health code needs, inspections, sewerage, things like that. But I don't see that as being a driver for additional revenues for the town, merely to keep the town from going backward.
Charles, same question. Yeah. I would think you're in favor of outdoor dining.
Absolutely in favor of outdoor dining. It's great. The tourists want it, and the businesses need it. Simple as that. The revenue source is going to come from the increased tax revenue that the businesses will bring in. That being said, there's a formula when you open a restaurant that certain seats you pay into a parking fund. And that's necessary because we have to increase parking, and also the sewer fund. So, you know, you pay into the sewer if you increase your occupancy. That's just how the town works. They're not doing that as a revenue source. It's just what all businesses have to do change their occupancy. They did a great job. It was this is going to be a permanent. So if we give parking away, that's a permanent thing. We don't know how bad the parking's going to be 5 years, 10 years away. But whatever happens, I think it should be affordable to the businesses.
Thank you.
Questions, Charles Mathewson?
I mentioned that I wrote a story about the shoreline. I wrote that for the Old Colony Memorial. I was editor of the Old Colony Memorial for a while, and I think that even the people who work for the OCM today would agree that they are not communicating really well with the public. It's really tough now to get word out as to what the town is doing, and people are confused. Let's start with you, Vedna. What would you do to improve communication between the town and its residents?
I think using all forms of communication. I believe this question was posed also with PAC TV. And so we are an intergenerational town, and people receive information in different ways, whether that be social media, whether that be the newspaper, the radio, and or in person. So it's finding those available ways, and how can we give out this information. Also too, I see that the town has increased its transparency in terms of information upon its website. So maybe gearing people towards that website for those who do have the ability to be on a computer system, but maybe going into particular, our villages, as they say, and having members or some of those, some of our town representatives actually be able to give some of the constituencies some of this information as well. So using all avenues.
Steve Bulletin.
I really have to echo what Ms. Haywood just said. We do receive information in many different sources. There are some people who are very tech savvy and are very comfortable with our website, which is a difficult one to manage. When you're looking for information on the town website, you can find departments, but finding the information that those departments are relying upon is a real challenge. At the same time, there are still a great number of people out there, and we have encouraged a great number of people, seniors in particular, to come to town who can't manage our website. These are people who are out there writing to me complaining that they can't even figure out how to get a beach sticker because they have to do it online. So to some degree, a lot of the information that those people rely on has to come from other sources, and they're not, unfortunately, watching PAC TV or reading the OCM. And I think to some degree, we actually need to rely on good old-fashioned mailers and let people know, among other things, that we have an election on August 14th.
Charlie?
I'm going to continue the echo. I mean, I agree. It's if somebody really cares, they'll get on the town website. As Steve said, some people are tech-savvy. Some of the seniors might not be tech-savvy. But social media is probably the most effective way. I mean, I've seen it with my campaign. I'm not a social media guy, but because of the campaign, I've learned it, and it's been very effective for my campaign. But it's got to be just facts have to get out there. I don't want any opinions going out over social media. It has to be factual, for the residents. So I don't like seeing opinions going out. Send the facts out, let them form their opinions, and with that information. So,
Christine, I have a follow up.
Okay. Because I do too.
Oh, good. Well, you can follow up my follow up.
Yes, okay.
Oh, okay. All right. And Vedna, thank you for mentioning radio. Let's go in reverse order. This might bring it back to. This may tie in communication with the Charter Commission. The last Charter Commission tried to strengthen the precinct system. That really hasn't happened. Do you think that if we had better participation in precinct meetings, precinct caucuses, that would increase communication and get people more involved in town government? Charlie?
Yes, I mean, I think that would help. I get discouraged when we get 5,000 votes, out of 40,000 registered voters. But the precinct have to get out to their people. About how important it is to get involved in government. So
increased precinct participation.
Increased precinct participation.
Steve Bulletin.
I don't think increased precinct participation is going to address the problem of 5,000 voters out of 47,000 coming. I think, unfortunately, too many voters are not getting the information, and they don't feel that they're part of the process. And I don't think the precinct system is going to engage them. It hasn't done so yet. As is, we've heard plenty of stories of instances in which there aren't anybody running for all the seats in the precinct. if you can't even fill the precinct, it's not going to stem and go beyond the precinct caucus in order to help the voters. I think we need to do more outside of the government system and really work on communication in general.
Well, what would you do in lieu of the precinct system that the last Charter Commission put in place?
I'm not addressing the Charter Commission and the precinct system because, again, we have to address the entirety in the form of government, whether or not we have town meeting in its current form, whether we scale down the precincts, and I know that's a suggestion that's already been floated by some of the Charter Commission members, creating larger precincts, fewer people, more meetings. It still doesn't address the basic issue, which is the people are not getting the message. They don't feel that they are part of the process. They are disenfranchised. We have to convince them that there is a town government that's listening to them. We need to make it so that the avenues for their participation aren't limited to the formal government process. Again, social media being one of the ways to do it. Ms. Haywood's suggestion as well, that we have the town government go out to the people, let them find us and come talk to us, rather than make them come to us.
Would you expand the precinct system that the last Charter Commission put in place to increase communication with the electorate?
I think in terms of increasing, I guess civic engagement is what we're clearly asking for. I think we have to meet the people where they are. As being part of the league, that's part of our mission, is to increase
the
civic
engagement.
The League of Women Voters.
Not the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. No.
It's the League of Women Voters. And so I know for me, I've had the opportunity to go actually into different communities and meet people where they are. Though they may not have the opportunity to be on social media, we do face-to-face presentations where people ask questions regarding their local government and how it affects them. So civic education is a huge deal in terms of how we can kind of mitigate the barriers to civic engagement, and that is, I don't think it's precinct participation.
Thank you all.
Charles? Okay, my follow-up question, and this will be kind of a segue into the lightning round where we do the quicker answers. I was just thinking when you folks were talking about getting the information out to people, a couple things. To have the patience to sit through all those Board of Selectmen meetings sometimes, this is no insult, it can be tedious, we're all busy. I was a big fan of Cliff Notes in college. Okay, I did a lot of reading, but I couldn't get everything done. So I like the shortened, boiled down version. One thing I've noticed is that the town of Scituate now, on Mondays on YouTube with Jim Boudreau, the town administrator, and usually the chairman of the Board of Selectmen, gives like a 10-minute recap of what happened during the last board meeting and what the big issues are in town for the week. It's great. And I'm thinking, I don't know any other town that does this, but it's sort of like, and if you miss the show, here's the quick recap. Is this something that you would consider pushing as part of your agenda on the Board of Selectmen? I think it's great because it condenses everything, and at least it's a place to start, and maybe you get people interested in listening further if it's a format that they can handle. Everybody's got 10 minutes. You can do anything for 10 minutes, even clean your closet or listen to the selectmen. What do you think, Vedna? 10 minutes?
I think it's a good way, as long as the information is objective. You know, it's coming from a particular person, so making sure that information is objective and factual, and so that it's not this three-hour-long, it's not even a synopsis, a three-hour-long, informational on what occurred the night before.
Okay. Steve, what do you think?
I think it's a wonderful idea. I think that it should be done both as a presentation and also as a quick summary in written form, whether that's put out on the website or social media, or both, I think, to give people, again, different opportunities to see the shortened version and allow them to then link to longer segues if that's something that they're interested in talking about.
Okay, what do you think, Charlie? Good idea?
I agree, good idea, yes. Anything we can do to be helpful. The town manager's report, I think, is good, too. I try and read that every week, but I just, like I said, it's just, I wish more people would get involved in the town. There's so many important things. And in my campaign, I'm going to certain precincts, getting back to precinct participation, and tell them that you got to get involved, because if you don't vote, nobody cares about you. So you really should get out and vote and show, you know, show some strength in your precinct. So.
Okay. Let's go to the official part of the lightning round now. And these are questions the reporters will ask. And the answer is either yes or no. And it's yes or no without an explanation or a long soliloquy about something. Or one or two sentences. And one or two sentences are tops. No run-on sentences, no rambling, etc. So, Mr. Tachi, questions for the candidates. Lightning round.
Preface this, you can give a quick answer or up to two sentences. What would you say is the biggest capital project that Plymouth needs to address? And we'll start with, Steve. Sorry.
Two sentences.
I think it's the study and preparation for future water security, wells and the like, and infrastructure.
Charlie?
Maintenance of public buildings.
Edna?
Infrastructure and water. Mr. Mathewson?
What's your favorite place in town, Charlie?
East Bay Grill.
Steve?
Miles Standish Forest.
Edna?
I would say Plymouth Rock. It's where I fell in love with Plymouth.
Okay.
The waterfront.
Plymouth County government. Stay or go? Stay or go, Steve Bulletin.
Go.
Okay. Charlie?
Stay.
Vedna? Plymouth County government. Stay or go? I ask this at every forum.
The commission.
And I know that even though Dan Pallott is not on that board anymore, I know he's steaming somewhere in Western Mass listening.
In terms of the commission is what you're saying?
Yeah. County government. Go?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin, Tachi?
One word to describe the town of Plymouth. We'll start with Charlie.
One word.
One word.
One word.
So tough.
Beautiful.
Benna?
Home.
Steve?
Welcoming.
One more, Charlie. And don't make it too long because I got to go to final statements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you like to chat.
Charlie, more condos are we full up?
Depends where they're going. Right now, I don't want any more on the waterfront.
Okay, two sentences.
Stephen?
Small lot family, not condo.
Bedna?
Limited condo.
Okay. We're going to go to closing statements now. Now that you've been through the gauntlet here, the WATD questions, and thank you, PAC TV, too, we're going to reverse the order that we went for our opening statements, and this will be Steve, then Charlie, then Vedna, and closing statements, 1 minute, please. So let's start with Steve Bulletin.
Thank you so much for having me again tonight. Town of Plymouth is at a crossroads. We face a series of challenges that define our future. The need to reverse the trend of excessive residential taxes, protecting our environment and open spaces, given our reliance on them for tourism, recreation, and our water supply, and paying for overdue facilities and infrastructure maintenance. These issues aren't new, but the town hasn't taken steps to address them. Instead, they've stayed on a path that is simply unsustainable. We can't rely on those who got us into this predicament to get us out of it. It's time for a different approach. I bring new ideas from 25 years of real-world experience working with dozens of cities and towns to address these very concerns. As a retired individual, I have the time to commit to this significant undertaking. And as an independent voice who answers to all of the residents of Plymouth, I come ready and able to work with anyone for the benefit of everyone. I hope I can have your vote on August 14th.
Thank you very much. That was Steve Bulletin. Now let's go to Charlie Blitzer.
Thank you. I love the town of Plymouth, and if elected to the select board, I truly feel that together we can foster impactful change for our wonderful community while leaving a more environmentally and fiscally responsible town for our children and grandchildren. As a father who will help raise a family with my wonderful wife, Lisa, I want to be part of shaping Plymouth for future generations. As a town, we do not have the luxury of waiting. We are faced with some serious issues that will require the community to work together to develop sound strategies and viable solutions. Plymouth will continue being the place we love to call home while over time growing our commercial tax base and decreasing the residential tax burden. I look forward to earning your vote on Saturday, August 14th, 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Charlie Blitzer. Now let's go to Vedna Haywood.
If there's anything I want you to take away from my campaign, it's this. As your future Select Board member, I'm committed to listening to all of you. There are a multitude of concerns, and I will assess all sides of every issue. From that, I will formulate a solution. I will serve with an open mind and consider all of Plymouth before making a decision. Having the opportunity to be part of multiple boards and committees from the local to the national level has provided me a proven ability to collaborate, to determine common ground, to develop solutions, and analyze information objectively, which will be an asset to the Select Board as we face crucial decisions now and in the months to come. We need someone who understands our town's values while bringing to the table a fresh new perspective. Now more than ever, our town is in transition. It's at a crossroads of change, and it's important that we as a collective are present and engaged in this change in the Plymouth we love. So on August 14th, you have a choice to vote for an individual who makes thoughtful, tough, and timely decisions. Our Select Board needs a fresh approach and more members who are committed to civility and common sense. On August 14th, I, Vedna Haywood, would respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you very much. That was Vedna Haywood. The special election in Plymouth is August 14th. We want to thank everybody for participating tonight. Vedna Haywood, Steve Bulletin, Charlie Blitzer, the candidates, asking questions with me, Kevin Tachi, and Charles Mathewson, our media partner, PAC-TV, engineer Larry Nelson, timer Maddie Hobson. Tell people to get out there and vote. This entire form will be also posted on the WATD website, 959WATD.com, and you hear selected cuts from this tomorrow morning as well. Remember, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 959 WATD. Thanks for listening.